May I call on Brother Tony. He's giving you guys his testimony. This man is great. I mean, he is great.
Good morning. Good morning, church. So I'm here today to give my testimony, and there are many new faces here today. So yeah, my name's Tony. I was born in 1965, so you all know my age now. I joined this church back in 1999, and I've been here for quite a long time now, and I've seen a lot of change and lots of good things happening in this church. So you know, I'm happy to be here today. My testimony. Wow. We all have a testimony, even though we think we don't. We've all got one. From the day we were born, our testimony starts. He says, I'll give you a little bit of my background. So I was born in a small town called Dannevirke, which is down near Palmerston North in New Zealand. I had two brothers, two sisters, so I had quite a big family. My father, he had a big family of 12 children. My mother had a big family of 8 children, so come from a big family background, which is good, growing up as a child. Lots of cousins, lots of aunties, yeah. So I lived on a farm most of my life, my childhood life, so I had to go to boarding school, which I didn't really like. So I went to a boarding school called Napier Boys High School. So, you know, because that's the only way I could go to school for secondary school. I become quite tough there because, you know, being in an environment of all boys, you know, you had to be tough because, you know, every boy is trying to be the alpha. So, you know, you learn to be tough. And that was probably the first time I went to church, but the reason I went to the church was only to go because the Napier girls were going to church. So I can't remember any of the sermon, but that's the only reason I went to church. So, and that was my first encounter of going to church. So, yeah, wrong reasons, but yeah, I was young. Yeah. Then we moved to a place called Opotiki from the country, and that's where I started my apprenticeship as a cabinet maker back in 1980. So, you know, that's where I learnt my skill of cabinet making, and I still do it today and still enjoy it. So, and then I moved to Auckland in 1986 from the little town of Opotiki. So that was a big shock for me, you know, coming to the big city. And then I worked here, and after that I went flatting, and that's where I met my lovely wife. She was my my flatmate in the start. She didn't really like me at the beginning, but she but I grew on her with time. So and then we sort of did everything backwards. Like, we both didn't know the Lord at that point in time. Where are we? And then we bought a house together, and then we moved to that house, which we still live in that house today in Glen Eden. And then her brother he's a Christian. Some of you do know him, Stephen. Yeah, that's Gina's brother, and he was having a bit of trouble with his marriage and stuff, so he came to live with us for a while. So we took him in under our wing, and that's where my wife, one night I'd gone to bed, she was talking to Stephen, and she actually gave her heart to the Lord that night. Like, I'd already asked Gina to marry me before we bought the house, and you know, everything was going nice and smooth. And then she gave her heart to the Lord, and I go, oh yeah, no, that's cool. Yeah, didn't really understand it. So, yeah, moving on. And then probably 3 weeks after that, Gina, she came to me and says, I can't live here with you because the Lord has spoken to me and says, until we're married, I can't live with you in this house. And I go, whoa, what's happening? But I'm quite a calm person, so she left the house, and then I'm there all alone, this big house, ready to get married. but my wife is gone. Or my future wife is gone because the Lord had spoken to her and said, until we get married, then she can't live here. And that was quite a hard time for me. It was like, yeah, but I didn't really understand it. And then Steve and her brother said, oh, would you like to come to a show with me? And I go, yeah, nothing else to do, you know. My wife's left, I'm here alone in the house. So I went off, but I didn't know what it was. I said, I'll go. And it was a show called Eternity. It was down in Beaumont Street. And I went there and it was amazing. It was my time. I didn't understand what was going on. And I went there. They went through all the show and the different scenarios in life and different people's situations and all that and suffering and people giving their hearts. And it was my time. Like they did an altar call and just boom. It was the Lord had called me. But through all that suffering and things going not the way I think they should go, and then that's where I gave my heart to the Lord. And then after that, so I didn't really understand it, but it was just so powerful. And then so I did a course which was a 10 weeks Young Christians course, right, which went over 10 weeks. So I went to those every week, and you know, I was learning a lot. And then they get to the last week, and like every week had a different subject. And then the last week was on tithing, and then my instincts was like, all they want is my money, because they talked about tithing and stuff. But I was so wrong in that. But it took me another 2 or 3 years to really understand that part of being a Christian. So there was another learning curve for me. And then after that, I gave my heart to the Lord. Gina and I got married, and then we had two lovely children. And then, you know, I was still a young Christian learning. You know, there's still lots of stuff to learn. There was suffering along the way. There was trials, and you know, when you give your heart to the Lord, it's not just all everything goes. You know, our life is turned upside down, pretty much, like it's a full circle, and then we're going in another direction, but we're learning as we go. And then Jean and I had an opportunity to buy another property down in Opotiki, which was a little orchard, which we were going to turn into a passion fruit orchard. And then so we bought that, and then my parents were running it, and then it was going fine for a while, and then it got really difficult. And then Gina said, oh, we're going to have to sell it. And then me being a man and doing everything in my own strength, you know, no we don't. And then but that's a good thing for you, all the husbands out there. Quite often our wives get a calling from the Lord and saying we need to do this, but we need to listen sometimes to our wives, you know. And so eventually I did listen to my wife, and we sold, because we were about to lose our house here in Auckland because of the financial struggle. But the Lord is good, you know, and he will speak to us and guide us and direct us. And then so we got through that, and then probably the hardest thing in my whole Christian walk has been a year ago, I got sick. I started with a rash on my head, and they felt it was just dermatitis, because you know the industry I work in, you know, working with glues and all that sort of stuff. And then it got worse, and then the rash started to spread. So I went back to the doctor, and she said to me, you know, if it gets worse, you've got to come back. So I did that, and then it just got worse, and then no one knew what it was. I went to my doctor on the third week, and the rash had started to spread everywhere. And then I went there, and he said, well, you have to go and see a dermatologist. But he said, there's only one problem, 6 to 8 months wait to get to see one. And then so I said to him, well, can you give me all the ones? Like, and I started ringing them, and then I think I'd gone through three, and they all said the same, 6 to 8 weeks. So then I said, well, what's happening? So I prayed, and I said, Lord, I have to see this dermatologist, you know, what? And then I think I had two on my list, and I rung one, and they said, oh no, sorry, 6. And then I just continued to pray, and then I rung the last one, and they said, oh, we have a cancellation tomorrow, can you come? And I go, yes. And so I went. So I went there, and then the guy, I went in there, and he said to me, I don't think it's dermatitis. And then he said, tell me everything about what's been happening over the last 2 weeks. And I said, like, the rash is just, it's gone from here, like, everywhere, over my whole body. And then I said, over the last 3 weeks, my muscles have been really, really, really sore. And he goes, I think I know what it is. He said, I'm 95% sure. It's called dermatomyositis. There it is. And then, so that's muscle, skin, and rash. And then he said, on the way home, you must go and get your blood done. So I went and got the blood done, and then they took 12 lots of blood. And then the next morning, and then they put me on prednisone, which is quite a powerful steroid. They put me on that. And then the next morning, he rang me up. He said, hospital now. My CK levels were at 12,000, I think, and they only meant to be up to 350, I think. So that's how I ended up in hospital. But, and then with this disease, it affects your muscles. So I my throat, I couldn't eat. So in the hospital, they had to put a tube down for me to feed, to take on food, and all my medication as well. But I spent 9 weeks in hospital, and for me that was just so difficult, because I'm a very active person, and I'm here in hospital, sitting, you know, can't do anything, you know. But the one good thing was the prayer from this church. Like the power of prayer is powerful. And then I started going, like, probably the first two weeks in, and then I started to think, I started to blame the Lord. I said, Lord, why me? Why is this happening to me? You know, I'm suffering, you know, I can't do what I normally do. It's painful for me, you know. And then one night, I think I woke up, it was 3:16 in the morning, and the Lord said to me, who do you trust? And I went, wow. And it was very, very clear. So from then, I changed my thinking, because I knew the Lord had me. And I got through. I got through. And here I am today. And but through our suffering, the Lord can use it for good. Like, it's amazing. Yeah. So, but I've had many journeys, you know, and then, but it's yeah, so today, like that's a small part of my journey. Like there's been lots of other little, but those are probably the two big ones that have, I know the Lord's had his hand in it. But today I just want to finish with a verse. It's Proverbs 3:5-6. It's got, yeah, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. So what I'm saying today is trust in the Lord, no matter what you're going through. And if you can help someone on your journey, even when I'm suffering, I was trying to help people when I was sitting in the hospital bed, you know, because I had nothing else to do really. But you know, through our suffering, the Lord can use everything. So thank you guys today. Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Fisherman. Yes. Can I call on Brother Ferdy to read the verse that you're going to speak about today? Brother Ferdy is a handsome man too, whether his wife believes it or not.
Morning, family. Morning. Yeah, our reading for today is from the letter of James, Chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. And I will read to you in Filipino language, Tagalog. Ang pagbasa ay nagmula sa sulat ni Santiago, unang kabanata, simula sa unang talata hanggang sa ikaapat. Mula kay Santiago, alipin ng Diyos at ng Panginoong Hesukristo. Pinaabot ko ang aking pagbati sa mga hinirang ng Diyos, mga hinirang na nasa iba't ibang bansa. Mga kapatid, magalak kayo, kapag kayo'y dumaranas ng iba't ibang pagsubok, sapagkat alam ninyo na lalong magiging matatag ang inyong pananampalataya matapos ninyong pagtagumpayan ang mga pagsubok na yan. At dapat kayong magpakatatag hanggang sa wakas upang kayo'y maging ganap at walang pagkukulang. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word.
Thank you, Brother Freddy. Finally, my laptop is finished. They sent it back for free. They didn't charge me. So thank the Lord for that. Anyway, let's read it in our dialect here in New Zealand. James 1, 2 to 4. Ready? Begin. Consider it joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith perseverance. Let perseverance finish your work so that you may be mature, complete, and lack nothing. That's it. Guys, that's part of my outline. I didn't erase it. Okay. So it's there. But anyway, thank you, Brother Freddy, for that. It says there people are like tea bags. If you see a tea bag, you thought it's, you don't really know what's inside until you put it on hot water. You don't know the taste until you put it on hot water. In Jeremiah 17:10, this is what it says. Let's read it. Ready? Begin. I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct and what their deeds deserve. So we were talking about trials. Now, there is a reward for those that has the right conduct when they are in trials. And the deeds that they, the reaction, what, their response to that trial that they have been going through. It's not for God to know what is in our heart because He is omniscient, He is all knowing. But actually, it's for us to know what really is that is your heart, because the heart is very deceptive. You can be hiding into something and you thought you don't have problem, but there's a lot of problem. Like, you know, I've been talking to Heidi this morning about my experience with that house buying. With CJ and Hannah's buying the house, I didn't mind. I didn't have any attachment to that because I'm not living there. Okay? Although he offered me one of the rooms, he said, this is going to be your room if you want to stay with us, Heidi. Which is good. Which is a good promise. Because Louis Ezra and the family all bought a house close to their house, which is just one house. I think one house in the you can just go there if you want. And when I get to my old age, when the government doesn't allow me to drive anymore, they won't give me a license. And if, just in case, because Louisa said when I was 60, you're only 60 years old, you're still stubborn. So it means that I'm growing older. I become more like of a child, and I'd be more stubborn. I don't eat my medicine. I do things that Ezra might not want me doing it, and so she will scold me. And what do? You don't drive. You cannot drive. It's easy to go to Hannah's house. Thanks for that offer, brother. And of course, Hannah is more temperament than I don't know if that is. She will scold me too. I just go to the other house. That's a benefit. But you know, the experience I've had with that house, I thought I'm not affected by it. But the first time they got rejected for that first property that they went into bidding, I was really affected by it. It was rejection. And I began to blame this Chinese guy who got the money. And he just went up, very high bid. That we can no longer get there because the bank only allowed us this much. And then when I saw that house close to Hannah's house, it's a dream come true. Because even Abraham took his own family when God said, leave that place and go to a land as I promised. You know, his only mistake was he took Lot, which is not supposed to be part of his family because he's his nephew. He took him, so he had a problem with Lot later on. But they're always there together with his family. So that's why I want to be with my family, intact with them. And I thought that was already God had granted more than what I expect, that we are not only in the community, but we are neighbors. But then the bank did give us the money, the first bank. Bless that bank, Lord. It's very low. And then I was so frustrated. I called Louisa that night and I said, what we are going to do? Let's just buy a house that is repairable. We will repair it. It's cheap. And then, no, we still have one bank. And they said, yeah. And I got hope, a little hope again. And then later on, the bank gave us at least something that I believe we can buy the house. But later on, during the bidding, this is the hardest part. I thought it was not bidding yet, but Louisa was listening. And then I went to the kitchen and she was listening. And she said, oh, Dad, it's already up to the maximum that the bank allowed us to have, to bid. And I got frustrated so much. I turned around and I thought, Lord, is it not that you promised to give us that house? In my heart, at least in my heart. He didn't talk to me anything about that, but because of the Abraham vision thing like that. And I thought, oh, I still have money on the Kiwi Saver. I'll put it everything there. So I rang Jami. I rang Jami. Jami, we'll go up to this amount. Louisa said, no, Dad. No, we'll go to this amount. I'll give everything. Just to buy the place, the vicinity. It's no longer about the building. It's because I want to be with my children. Imagine you're together there, your grandchildren, everyone there. If you feel like visiting them, you don't have to travel. That's a dream to me. And so we got the house. But the trouble is, the pain of rejection, everything there that we had to go through. I don't know with my children, but I really had gone through all of those. Pain of rejection, pain of losing something. Yeah. Sometimes we can have integrity, but when you are in pain, you lower that integrity in thing. Yeah. Sometimes you think you are committed, but once you are in pain, you throw the towel and leave that goal or whatever commitment you've got. Sometimes you think you have faith, but once you are in pain, sometimes you lose that narrow way which you should be going. So, your faith, your commitment, your integrity, your maturity could only be measured when you are in pain. If you're going through tough time right now, it's a test. God's showing you what's really going on in your heart so he can help you to grow and become more like him and learn to trust and follow him more closely. I was there when you were in bed. I saw how hard it is, and I thought, how can you survive with that? I thought you're gonna die. It was really frustrating to see. But there's nothing you can go except God. To go to God. To plead with God. When what's her name? Robin was in pain. I mean, she was suffering so much, but she didn't stop. trusting God. She would walk there and then stop. Sometimes you go with her, walk and stop. And I thought, what a commitment to you, Lord. What a commitment. Until the time she passed away, she didn't give up on God. In Job 36:15, let's read that. Job. Okay, let's read the one at the bottom. Ready, begin. God teaches people through suffering and uses distress to open their eyes. There are some things we learn through pain, and sometimes it's through pain, through the pain of other people. We don't have to suffer all this pain that we have to go through. We have to learn it from other people. Hopefully that when after you learn it, you could only you can also share it to other people. You have the word to tell them. You have the authority to tell them because you've gone through it. What does God want you to understand about distress you're going through right now? What are you learning? That's the question, probably. Once you've learned it, He wants you to pass those lessons to others who will need it. Hopefully, if you pass it. We all go through different kinds of trouble, but no matter what your specific pain is, God wants you to learn these three things first. Is it there? First. Nothing there. Oh, yeah. Told you. First, let's read it. You learn to depend more on God through your pain. Two things. If you look on God, you get it. You get the lesson. But if you don't look at God and you look at the people that gave you that pain, you look at whatever source of pain you're suffering, then you'll not get it. But to Christians, this is supposed to be our attitude. You learn to depend more on God through your pain. God wants to teach you about Himself, about His power through your weakness, His love when you feel unloved, His grace when you feel unforgiven, and His wisdom when you don't know which way to turn to. One of the greatest fear of everyone, especially when you are growing older and older, is the pain of not knowing where you're going after this life. Where are you going after this life? We know that there is another life after this. But it is very clear that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So in this life, if you don't have Jesus, who is the life then? It's not life, it's death, eternal suffering. There's no God at all. And the only way for that to have security in that is you have the life of God through Jesus Christ. Second, you learn to trust and obey God's word when you are in pain. It is easy to trust God when things are going great, but it's not too easy. It's hard when things are going bad. Hard. Let's see what King David said about affliction. Ready? Begin. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I obey your word. During his affliction, he went astray, but later on, he went back to God and obeyed his word. Lesson learned through failure and painful mistakes will drive you to claim and trust in God's promises. His word provides hope that he is with you and has not stopped working for you and in you. The third, let's read it. Ready, begin. You learn through pain that you need other people. If you never had any pain in your life, you wouldn't think you needed somebody. It's only in pain that some people admit that they need others to help them. pain is one of the most powerful reminders that you are not meant to go through life alone. Even Tarzan needed Jane. Blessed are you if you've got a wife like my wife. He gave you a sermon, but he's there for you. He might blame you for the things that happened, but she's there for you. She's like a mother. Yeah, you fall your knee and your head just hurt. Why did you run? I told you not to run. But she's there. She will put some medicine on that. If you are going through pain right now, trust that what God is teaching you will be helpful to others too, as you pass the lesson on to your friends, family, and even future generation. Romans 8:34. Let's read it. Ready, begin. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, who was raised to life, as it is in the right hand of God, is also interceding for us. Do you know what it means by interceding? Praying for us. You might ask, Jesus praying for us? Yeah. He's there at the right hand of God praying for us. It's talking about Christians, okay? The Holy Spirit's work on sinners. But to those Christians that are within Him already, He's praying for us. You know, God, everything knows what's going to happen. He knows the future because He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. That means that He knows the past, He knows the present, He knows the future all at once. He already knows what's going to happen in your life this afternoon. If you're going to watch Manny Pacquiao fight or... He knows it. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding because there is a boxing Filipino legend fighting this afternoon. So, anyone who's going to watch, can I watch with you guys? No, I have again a sermon later on because Luis says that already. Your sermon is about Pacquiao. Please do not talk. I'm sorry, my wife. I love you. He knows what's going to happen in your life even next week, next month, next year, and the rest of your days. And He knows the details because He is omniscient. He is all-knowing. This also means that He can pray before it happens. He can pray for you, that you can go through it. We just have to go through it because that's the only way He can show us what's in our heart. He can reveal to us the things that needed to be changed as we trust Him and commit our hearts to Him. So He prays, He intercedes for us. That's why the Bible says that Christians are more than conquerors because of that. We never lose. We always win. We might suffer, but we will go through it, and we always win. And if it's a sickness that you cannot pass it, we have heaven. That's why the Bible says that the night before Jesus went to the cross, He was with His disciples, and Peter was boasting, Lord, I'm ready to die with you. Luke 22:33, Peter said, Lord, I'm ready to die. To die with you. I'm with you. But, Peter was just a little impulsive. But Jesus knew Peter was going to deny Him three times before the next morning. So if we read that in verse 32, we go back in verse 32. This is what Jesus said to him. Ready? Begin. I have prayed that you will not lose your faith. Help your brothers be stronger when you come back to me. I already prayed for you that you're going to backslide. That's what He was saying. That you're going to turn around and deny me three times. That's why with the Catholics, they have this Peter with a chicken. Yeah. Rooster. That's where they got it. Yeah. the denial of Peter on Jesus, which the rooster crowed 3 times. That's why she remembered, and she wept after that. Jesus, who is God, had already prayed for Peter in the storm when he was about to go through. In the same way, Jesus has already prayed for you to go through what you're going to go through, what you're going tomorrow, next year, or whatever. In fact, right now, Jesus is in heaven praying for his children. He is interceding for us, praying on your and my behalf. Let's read Romans 8:34. I like this verse. Ready? We already read it, but I want to read it again. Ready? Begin. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, he is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Hope you will remember that verse, guys. When you're in pain, remember that we have a God praying for us. Jesus is praying for you that you make it through this storm. I love it when people pray for me. In fact, I feel it. But what if it's God himself praying for you? The Bible says no matter what you go through today, next week, or next year, Jesus is praying for you. He is on your side. If you've trusted him as your Savior, he is interceding for you. If you're not sure you have given your life to Jesus, give your life to Jesus. Receive him as your Lord and Savior, and you'll be in good hands. Somebody praying for you. In Mark says, Jesus sent his disciples ahead of him to Bethsaida, and he went off by himself to pray. It wasn't a long trip on by boat. It's just close, crossing it. But the disciples were blown, of course, by the storm later on, if you read the story. When Jesus saw them struggling against the wind in the middle of the lake, he came to their aid. Of course, their situation was, to them, uncontrollable because the waves are going against them. And even sometimes us, we get into trouble. We get into situations where, how can we get out of this? How can this situation stop? But you see, if you've been blown off by the course of that storm and you have no control over it anymore, all you wanted is to go for safety. But how? Or perhaps you had a big dream in your life that you gave up on. You already had given up a long time ago. You're not even worried about progress anymore. You just want to survive. But what did Jesus do at the moment of desperation? Let's read it in Mark 6:48. Ready? Begin. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came towards them walking on water. 3 o'clock in the morning is the start of the darkest part of the night. On the darkest part of the night, their situations were worse, and Jesus there went to them walking on water. Notice that he didn't tell the disciples to come to him. He knew they couldn't do that. There are situations where we cannot do it anymore. So when he went to them instead, then he didn't wait for them. He didn't even wait for them to call him. The same is true for you when you're at your lowest point of desperation. Jesus comes to you. But when Jesus came, they saw him as a ghost. But still, Jesus was there. I love the fact that Jesus did not stand on the shore and shout instructions. When you're in a storm, you don't need advice. You need a miracle. You need somebody to show up and Hopefully, you recognize Jesus. He intervened with the situation of the disciples in that storm. And that's the gospel. God doesn't stand on the shoreline telling you what to do. Instead, He comes out and meets you in your own storm, in your pain, in your fear, in your depression, in your discouragement. He comes to you. We just need to connect to Him in prayer. Take your time. Go to Him. You may feel abandoned right now. Actually, you're not. Brothers are here. Let's read John 14:18 and we'll end here. Ready, begin. I will not abandon you or leave you as orphans in the storm. I will come to you. I don't know, brethren, what you're going through. All of us have gone through. There is some situations that sometimes all we need is Christ. If you're in that situation, can you just close your eyes and talk to your God? Talk to your God. I have mine, you have yours. Lord, I pray for all everyone that are here today. We have our own storms, Lord. We have our own pain that we have to go through. Just help us, Lord, in this, to trust you, that you are a God that never leaves us, and that we have a good future in you, O Lord. As we learn the reason why we have to go through all of this pain that we have to go through, may we see you as the God who delivers us and give us a better future. I thank you personally, Father God, for Luisa not finding a job for 2 years because you prepared Cary Park for her. I thank you for Tony, oh Lord, that he had to go through all of those pain and even doubt probably, that you came later on and rescued him. Now he is a living testimony of healing. Thank you, Lord, for the testimony of Brother Fedi, who on his last week their contract, Lord, is finished and they have to go back to the Philippines if he cannot find a job that would fit for another contract staying in New Zealand. And yet, Lord, on that week, they receive a job offer. He received a job offer that now he is a citizen of this country. God, you are a God that shows up, Lord, when everything is so dark that we never have hope anymore, and yet you are there. And if you're here that you believe you don't have a relationship with God because you just don't know, Christ wants to come into your heart. That you may be with the Father, with the Son, with the Holy Spirit forever in your life. That anywhere you go through, they're with you. The Godhead is with you. And if you are that person, just say, Lord, I open my heart. Forgive me of my sins, and I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Just say that from the bottom of your heart. And thank you, Lord, for this day, for your goodness, O Jesus, for interceding for us nonstop. How you do it, Lord, too many people, too many Christians, but you do it because you are just, not omnipotent, omniscient, all-powerful. We bless you today. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning, guys. The Lord bless you.